Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, 168 years ago, a young, very well-connected candidate of theology was enjoying the path of career that had been set out by his relatives. After all, one of his uncles was court preacher in Hanover. Think of him as a Lutheran pope. Another one was the chief bodyguard to the Queen of Denmark. His brother ran a seminary. Friends and relatives were well connected throughout Germany. He had completed his degree program in Halle and had been sent off on what we would think of as a very long and comfortable extended vicarage, moving from one post to comfy post after another, even getting to accompany a noble on a tutoring journey down to Rome itself and to the south of France. Not bad, is it? And as other candidates in that day and age, sooner or later, he would have been given a nice little parish somewhere in the quarter to try his wings. And after he had proved to be just like the rest of his well-connected relatives, he would be given a larger parish, perhaps in Leipzig even, or perhaps somewhere in Hanover, maybe the city itself, or nearby where his father had been preacher and his grandfather had been preacher in Werde. But it was not to be. As he was sitting around wondering when God was going to send him to his next call, some mission journals ended up in his lap. And he started to read about the great need for preachers in the United States, where people were scattered to the winds, where Germans had not heard a sermon in their own language for years and years on end. And his reaction was not to stand up and say, "Here I am, God, send me." In his own words, Friedrich Winneken said later, "Sadly, I have to confess that, as far as I know, neither the love of the Lord nor the love of the orphan brothers drove me to America. I was not even given by a natural desire to go. I went there against my will and fighting the decision. I went because it was my duty. My conscience compelled me. It grieved me so much then and still grieves me now that I still don't, even when I'm there, love the Lord more than that, and that he had to drive me out to work as a slave. Even today, the dreadful challenges and temptations, doubts and griefs come over my soul when I am serving in my call over there. It comforts me that I can say, I have to be over there. You know, Lord, how I'd like to stay here at home. But if I stayed, I wouldn't be able to look up to you and to pray to you. So then, surely I must go of my free will." So far, Friedrich Winneken. Having answered that call, he discovered something of a Macedonian call when he got here. After a brief and very colorful engagement in the city of Baltimore, he went before the mission board of the Pennsylvania Ministerium. There had come a call from a place called Fort Wayne, Indiana. You were wondering what the connection was, weren't you? In Fort Wayne, Indiana, a pastor had just died who had been gathering scattered Protestants, in their words, from all over Indiana, Ohio, and Michigan. He had died of a heart attack, and just as Winneken arrived at the mission board, so also this message arrived to greet him. Seeing it as a Macedonian call, they sent him forward to Indiana, where he rode a circuit that extended to Chicago, north to Niles, Michigan, south to Crawfordsville, Indiana, across into Wilshire, Ohio, and north to the border. A little bit of a challenge, wouldn't you say? But being faithful to the Lord, he finally became convinced that other comfortable candidates of theology needed to answer the call. And so he came back to Germany and pleaded and persuaded with them that they would also answer the call to America. And they did. and hence began the beginnings of what would become our synod, where people and pastors and eventually deaconesses would go forth into this country to care for God's people, where just like Lydia, people would hear God's word and God would make them into his very own children and a part of his church. St. Paul also knew what it meant to have his program changed. After all, Paul thought that Asia was his call. After all, he had been born in Turkey, so why not keep on going in a nice contextual environment? And so he was headed off for Bithynia, but he couldn't seem to get there no matter what happened. Finally, God sent a dream to him of a man from Macedonia to call him and his associates to preach the gospel in the province of Macedonia. And beginning with Philippi, the first Christians in the continent of Europe became a part of the faith. None of this was Paul's doing. It was all God's doing. None of it was Winniken's doing at all. It was all God's doing. And so it is, as you sit here contemplating those call packets, those internship packets, those vicarage packets, and start to think about where you think God wants you to go, be prepared for a surprise. God has a way of doing that from time to time. We are God's instruments, after all. God chose us. We didn't choose him, and we did not accept Jesus Christ as our Savior. He went forth from the foundations of the earth and chose us to be his own, and planned to send his son in time to die so that we might be forgiven. When we were born and faithful parents brought us to the waters of baptism, he took us in his arms and said, "You are my son, you are my daughter, you belong to me, and nothing but nothing can separate you from my love." He provided in the interim faithful pastors and Sunday school teachers, men and women of faith who brought us up, teaching us the sweet gospel of Jesus Christ, which by the work of the Holy Spirit changed our hearts and moved us till the day you got the sneaky suspicion that God really didn't want you to be a multimillionaire, but instead wanted you to be a pastor or a deaconess. He will send you somewhere, and very shortly, even if that shortly may be a couple years. Time really does pass when you're in either of the Professor Scares classes. When the time goes by, you will discover that you are to be serving in God's vineyard, and that vineyard could be anywhere. The comfort comes in knowing that no matter how well you have learned your homiletics or your exegesis or not, God will use your words, your hands, and your deeds to call people to himself. Through the preached word, he will plant faith in the hearts, perhaps of people who have never darkened the door of a church ever before. Maybe in an unexpected way, through an email that you put on some kind of a chat room thing when you really didn't want to face down Grandma Schmidt, you might influence someone through God's word to become a part of the faith. Who knows how God will use you? This is not to recommend spending lots of time in chat rooms, by the way. In all of this, this follows what Jesus had in mind for us. After all, Jesus didn't particularly want to go to the cross. He told the Father, he said, Father, if there's another way, maybe let's go there. But he knew that God needed him to die on the cross. So having set aside his rights and powers as God and his authority, he went where the Father sent him, to the cross, and having made sacrifice for our sins and dying so that we might live, he rose again to reconcile all people to himself. And having ascended into heaven, he is now there this day in God's presence, sending forth faithful pastors and teachers and deaconesses and Christians to the ends of the earth, so that through us, he might bring others to himself. Now it comes to us. He will commit to you shortly an office of reconciliation or an office of mercy. In this rejoice, because you won't be able to mess it up, no matter how hard you try. Luther, after all, said, "Oh Lord, you know how much I am unfit for this great and responsible office. Yet even so, use me." And so it will be for you. God will use you sometimes because you serve him, and sometimes in spite of the way that you serve him. But his will be done wherever he sends you. And so on that day when your name is called and you march forward to this chancel to receive your call, and you wonder why it says Baghdad, Iraq, and not Milwaukee, Wisconsin, take heart that the Lord himself is the one who's sending you, and he knows good and well what you can do and what he can do with you. And so get ready, because Macedonia is calling. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, fill our hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.